Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Sprites of Life podcast. I'm Lucas.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Don.
So glad to have you guys for another podcast episode. And y'all, Pokemon Day's come and gone. It's time for the obligatory message. We got to talk about it. Today, we got to talk. Well, I'll be honest, folks. We had scripts for Johto. And, you know, like we were literally, right, talking about which one we had to do first.
We were between Kalos and Johto, but we were both, all of us were leaning Johto.
No, we were Unova and Johto. Very few of us thought Kalos. Come on. No one saw that coming.
Yeah, I thought Kalos was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I was ready for Gen 5 to talk about an Old West America region or the rebuilding of, like, America in the 1920s. And here we are getting back to France, which is pretty cool. And that's basically what we're going to dedicate most of this episode to. So, very quickly, the obligatory science news. I pulled up something short and sweet for y'all. Very quick. They found gray whales in the Atlantic, which is really cool. I mean, considering that it was the 1800s when the last time they really had them in there because they all got whaled out. So, they're there now. They saw one in the Atlantic instead of the Pacific. Really, really cool to see that the climate change, while it's still occurring, the whale numbers are back up. It's wholesome. It's sweet. But what else was announced during Pokemon Day? Because I feel like the rest of it kind of got, you know, left on the wayside after the game announcement.
So there was that weird Raikou sleeping in the kid's bedroom for Pokemon Sleep. Pokemon Horizons released on Netflix this week that we're recording. So the new anime.
Oh, okay, the one where Pikachu's a little captain.
Yeah, a little captain. What? There had to be more else in it. What else was announced?
Some card game for the mobile app?
Oh, yeah. I have no idea what they're doing with the card game apps, because this is going to be, like, the second card game app that they've launched in, like, the last, like, year or two. Watching it, it made me think that, like, they saw Marvel Snap get released and were like, oh crap, we gotta try.
They might also be chasing after that Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel money. They've been doing pretty well for themselves with their little card game for the PlayStation and mobile.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that play that. I haven't watched Yu-Gi-Oh! Since I was like a kid, so I'm not sure how much knowledge I would have.
Honestly, I played it a lot when I was stuck in Japan. I was just like, all right, well, I got this free-to-play game and let me relive part of my childhood. Oh, wow, all these cards I don't know, and they're killing me. Okay, games changed. But, yeah, I mean, card games are still popular, so they were hoping to cash in. Makes sense. Yeah.
And then, I guess we don't really care about the terror raids. I will say, at least in Pokemon Go, Litten is getting a community day. So you can get your shiny Littens and shiny Incins. And this will bleed into what we're going to talk about, what I want to talk about next. But Feraligatr is meta in Pokemon Go now. It jumped from like 250 rank to rank 9.
Oh, that's honestly, I'm a Feraligatr fan. Like, I'm very excited to hear that.
Basically, they just gave it Shadow Claw and it became instantly viable.
Hmm. Would you look at that?
He just wrecks everybody's face. It's annoying, but also awesome. But the other, as you noted, Lucas, the other thing that we got was Pokemon ZA, I guess is what we're calling it. Pokemon Legends ZA.
I like that people call it, yo, Pokemon Zah. And I'm like, no. I'm going to wait for their fancy little announcer boy who they pay to be like, Pokemon ZA will be launching in 2025. I want to actually hear them say it.
Yeah. Well, with our game, we obviously get starters. And we know that from Pokemon Legends Arceus that we get reimagined versions of existing starters. So I thought it would be fun. I've been putting on my tinfoil conspiracy hat to parse out who I think we're going to get in Pokemon Legends ZA, which is what I'm going to call it until proven otherwise. Just let me rant for a little bit. I'll keep it tight. But what my thinking was, the starters are either going to be ones that have megas or do not have mega versions. And I think for marketing reasons, we're going to get three that do not have mega versions. So that eliminates what? Gen 1, Gen 3, and Gen 5?
Gen 6, but no, wait.
Or Gen 6. Yeah, Gen 6. Gen 6. we didn't get one in, and then we know that we aren't going to get any starters, or we don't know. We can assume that because we didn't get any Sinnoh starters in Arceus, that we're not going to get any Kalos starters, so that eliminates Gen 6. Again, I would bet money that we're going to get a Sinnohmon. It seems very, very easy to say Piplup and Empoleon, so I'm not going to say that because, well, it's probably going to be...
Yeah, come on. You can't. Empoleon.
I think that we're going to get Turtwig. And I think Turtwig is going to go grass steel, and he's going to have the Eiffel Tower on his back. That's, I think we're going
to... I do really like that.
Yeah, we're going to get grass steel, and then we have to keep with tradition in that the other side the other side completely annihilates it. So then we need a fire one, and I think that they're going to destroy the game, and we're going to get an alternate form of Incineroar. And Don already hates me because I've thrown into the world.
You think we're going to get Fire Fairy?
Fire Fairy Incineroar with Intimidate for special attack.
Why do you hate the world around you so much? That sounds off. I mean, again, I'm going back to the penguin here. It's literally Empoleon in France. What else do you want me to say?
I see other people saying that, you know, Snivy because Fleur de Lis and it's kind of aristocratic. And, like, that's also a viable option. But, no. Don, would Fire Fairy and Sin break the game, or am I...
Fire Fairy is a typing we actually don't have yet, and yeah, it's Fire Fairy is an incredible defensive typing. And offensive typing. It's just an insane typing. Being immune to dragon is huge. You remove Fairy's steel weakness. You're not really adding any weaknesses to it. You're just kind of gaining immunity.
Water and ground.
You're already weak to water and ground.
Oh, right.
Fairy doesn't add any.
Added weakness is poison, and there's not that many poison attackers.
And and you neutralize steel.
Yeah, so I said you neutralize your steel weak.
And then we need a water starter, and this one's where I was kind of coming up blank. So I could see it either being Feral Gator, or I wouldn't be surprised if we got a Galar starter because that's what they did with Alola, and. I guess if I had to fill one in, we'd be getting a new Inteleon version, which would be kind of silly, but maybe they could make it actually, like, take a punch this time.
I think the other two, I mean, Grassy Terrain's an insane ability, and Librero was pretty good until they nerfed it.
I think it would be really funny, too, given that Inteleon is based on, like, such a famous spy. If you wanted to turn it around, one of the greatest thieves in French literature is Arsène Lupin. Turn him from spy to thief very quickly.
Yeah, that'd be a nifty little a twist. But then you'd have to be you couldn't do water dark then.
See, that is one of those ones you could also do water fairy on because the whole idea of Arsène Lupin was trickery as well. But like the whole like if you ever read those books or like learned about him, like the whole point was like he's a gentleman thief. Like, he goes into your house, like, he's like a Nickit. He's like a Thievul or a Nickit, but, like, he is... I guess we already have them, so you wouldn't be able to do it again. But otherwise, that's the only way I could see Inteleon working, because the French, like, are known for that sort of thing. They're known for that one specific piece of literature, so I don't know why they wouldn't revel in it again.
That's my random positing about how I would break the metagame for causing Don nightmares. But
do you think they would get just new evolutions or new megas? Or just megas?
Oh, they would definitely get new megas.
Mm-hmm.
New evolution typings, and those typings would get megas.
Right. So I think for the rest of this episode, let's talk a little bit about Paris itself and why they're doing this reconstruction period as their like basis. We'll talk about some French Pokemon and throw in some of the other megas at the end. Sound good?
Let's do it.
All right, so... Pop quiz. When was Paris established? How old is this city?
I can't think of a number because I can't remember, but let's say as old as Cleopatra.
Okay. You're bold? Not that old, but I like where your head's at. It's close.
Not that old. Okay.
Not that. It's close, but it's not that old.
I'm going to say like 300 AD.
Honestly? You're closer than you'd expect for the naming of Paris. Paris was named in 300 AD, but the original site was established in 259 BC. Paris was originally a Celtic fishing village. It was right on the Seine River. It was a perfect spot to live. It also was called Lutetia, but then eventually got the name Paris, which was one of the name of the tribes of Gauls that lived out there. And that's where it got its name. I am going to butcher a lot of French history to get through this. So the first king of the Franks, King Clovis the First, he named Paris as his capital. And this was basically beginning the long tradition of this city becoming a centralized location of power and authority for multiple kingdoms and at least one empire. The city has a very, very long history of being sieged, attacked, destroyed, defended, and rebuilt. I mean, in the 9th century, they were literally having Vikings sail up the river to besiege the city. So the mindset of Vikings only showing up on the coastline, it was crap because they would just go right up the river system and go beat the crap out of whoever they wanted and then sail right back out.
You could play Assassin's Creed Valhalla if you wanted to actually do that.
Yeah, it worked. I mean, those boats were really good at going up shallow water. It was always reminding me that, like, the Meowth that we got for the Galar region could have also been seen in the Kalos region as well, because the Vikings were all over the place. Like the Romans. They were just kind of all over the place for a little while. But by the 11th century, things kind of calmed down a little bit. It began a central trading hub and massive immigration center. So this led to the city properly growing and prospering. This is where we get the start of this area as a central location for commerce. Even before this time, the city had large cathedrals and art pieces. I'm going to butcher this. Saint-Germain-des-Prés is a chapel and church over there that was built in the 6th century. It's still standing today. Like, they have these ancient structures. There's something Americans tend to forget, that we live in such a young country that we say, wow, this building was built 200 years ago. Everybody else laughs at us because...
Yeah. There's something about when you visit those cities and you see the buildings that are like centuries upon centuries old, that it's crazy.
Yeah, it's not fair. I mean, I literally remember celebrating New Year's in Japan. Like, oh yeah, this temple was older than 2,000 years old. Not the city, just the temple was there. Eventually, you get to the Middle Ages, and that brought two big things to the French culture. The one was the rise of what we consider Gothic architecture. When everyone thinks of the true Gothic style of painting and construction and architecture, it showed up in the Middle Ages. But it also gave rise to the long tradition of the city in horrific peril and pain. The plague hit really hard. Not as hard as the 100 Years War, though. So right around the same time with the plague, the 100 Years War hit and saw Paris lose to Henry V and not get retaken by the French until 16 years later. During that time, they did build Notre Dame, and the University of Paris was constructed. But then there was also sieged, attacked, and burned. You know, you know how that song and dance goes. But eventually, they did get it back. And by the 16th century, things did get a bit tense. Yeah, the church kind of split, and people were less than thrilled about it. You name it. Violence, destruction, political turmoil. The entire city depopulated by a third because people wanted nothing to do with any of it. They were so tired of the attacks and the death from both sides that they just said, screw it, I'm out of here. Things did, again, stabilize. Things needed to be rebuilt. The city saw that in the 1700s, and it started these massive building projects. So this is where you get flamboyant Goth, which is like Goth, but with more curly, swirly metal. Churches, bridges, art projects, museums. It was all constructed during this time. And all of this money was being fueled by agriculture and the luxury trade that was mainly run by serfs and peasants. Pop quiz, boys. What happened when those serfs and peasants decided that life kind of sucked a little too hard?
Revolution.
Oh, yeah.
French Revolution, specifically. The French one.
Oh, yeah. So they did have the French Revolution in the 18th century, and that was also tied to the Age of Enlightenment, but it was again chaos and death. The French Revolution saw tens of thousands of people killed, not just in the guillotine, but also in the street, mob rule, political infighting. The entire country basically fell into turmoil and did not correct itself until Napoleon Bonaparte came about. As controversial as Napoleon is as a historic figure, he literally reshaped the entire world. I would not be here today if Napoleon had not sent his brother as the new king of Spain and completely restructured how South America worked and functioned by the Spanish. Like, everything he touched, everything changed what we did. But eventually, Napoleon III, his descendant, decided that enough was enough after a while, and they needed to really modernize the city. So in the mid-1800s, this is where we are at in Calais. This is the history that we're going to be going through, because there was a massive building project called the Haussmann's Renovation of Paris. This public work project was over 60 years dedicated to demolishing medieval neighborhoods that were still standing, building better roads, sewer systems, fountains that people could drink from, aqueducts. The Paris we know today, the French style, was not built like over thousands of years. It was completely ripped apart and built up in a really short amount of time in order to get the Paris we know. Everything about the city's structure, its logistical systems, the roads that it has, were all really functioned in this 160-year period that didn't end until the early 1900s. So it's one of the most impressive building constructions ever made. And I think that's why Pokemon is deciding to take Kalos in this direction. Kalos is, it's Paris, and getting a chance to actually build it with your own two hands. I think there's going to be everything from more Conkeldurrs and Machamps in the area helping you build. I think there's going to be quests to try and unite the different factions of the city to like kind of represent a lot of the wars and stuff. I would not be surprised if there were two factions, one supporting another god, like the gods of truth and the gods of reason from Unova, because there was so much of that going on.
That was truth and ideals or something, right?
Yeah, truth and ideals. Those were two of the things that they were talking about in the Age of Enlightenment. Less so in the United States cities of the Bronx and like Queens, but anything can happen with this one. And the fact that we're talking about environmental, you know, basically Captain Planet showing up in his snake form to beat us all to death as a mecha. I mean, there's a lot that could happen with this game. I'm excited because it's a really exciting piece of history. Most people, when you talk about French history, you talk about death. You talk about violence because that's what gets people. But to me, the construction, the building, the getting back on your feet, that's what France has done better than almost anybody else. They are really good at conquering, but they were also really good at putting themselves back together whenever everything fell apart. And so that's why I'm super excited for this game. I think it's going to be great. All right, I think I've talked enough, so I'm going to let you guys take part of this from here. So we all picked one French Pokemon. Don, you go first. Tell us what French thing we should be excited about to see again in Kalos.
Okay, I'm not sure if I guess you can counted as French. It was added in Kalos at least, and it's a Pokemon I really like. And that is Malamar.
Alright, what's the deal with Malamar? What's his story other than being upside down?
Yeah, so the evil. Upside down evolution was very fun, and I think bamboozled a lot of people. And then it was the thing that we never ever did again. Right? Is that the only one where we flipped the game upside down?
Yeah.
You still have to do it with the Switch.
Oh, you do? Awesome. That tells you. Yeah, I have some Malamars I transferred over, but I haven't like knew of. So Malamar is signature move topsy turvy. Malamar is a squid. It has the wrong amount of tentacles to be a squid. And the beak and eyes are wrong. But you know, we had a little bit of license. It's a dark psychic type, which is pretty unique. Kind of a cool typing. You are very, very weak to bugs, which is less cool. And yeah, as we said, Malamar, you flip your DS over to, I guess, you know what? I think it's more of a cuttlefish. I'll take that back. So like Malamar in the Pokédex, we see that it talks about how it has compelling hypnotic powers and it lures prey close with hypnotic motions, which is kind of interesting because, okay, never mind. Ultra Sun and Moon mentions that using the pattern on its torso to control its prey. And we do see some cuttlefish, which have insane power, like, abilities to change color and create patterns will do sort of like things like that to dazzle their prey. And we also see many bioluminescent species of squid in deep sea areas, as well as other cephalopods. And so kind of a little bit of a nod to that because it mentions them glowing. And one thing that I sort of think, given the fact that Inky swims up and Malamar goes the opposite way, I guess, We see a lot in deep ocean creatures is vertical migration, where certain times, typically during the day, they'll dive deep and at night they come closer to the surface to feed. And I kind of feel like the up and down motif they have going on is sort of maybe a little homage to that, I guess you could say.
It also, it does have a lot of comparison to the firefly squid, if you've ever seen one of those. Yeah, so, Chris, have you ever seen a picture of a firefly squid?
I don't think I have.
I'm putting it in the Discord. So this is what they look like when they're lit up.
Oh, that's pretty. It looks like a drone show.
Yeah, it's a bioluminescent squid, and the concept, the idea, is that if a predator is looking up, the bright lights will break up the silhouette. When predators are targeting a prey item, you need to you have a memory of the silhouette, and if you can break that up, it buys the animal time to get away. It doesn't always work, but when it does work, it's enough to keep you alive.
Well, I am going to talk about, sorry, I just reminded me of my other favorite deep sea squid, the vampire squid, which I think...
oh, let's go.
Yeah, it's kind of spooky-looking guy. I feel like it kind of has a similar thing to Malamar a little bit with the design, as well as, I think, Malamar. I have to relook at a picture of Malamar. Just vampire squid have, like, on the inside of their mantle, where, like, they sort of have, like, a little spiky-looking thing, though they're not really spikes. And I think Malamar kind of has a similar thing. But vampire squids also use bioluminescence. And they also use one of, in my opinion, the funniest bioluminescence defensively, where basically they'll just be hanging stationary in the water and it's pitch black there, and their eyes and around their eyes are bioluminescent, and they'll sort of just bait them away slowly and not really move at all. So they're basically just pretending to walk down the stairs while like walking behind a couch and then acting like they ran away, and I just really appreciate that.
They try to be sneaky, but they're not so sneaky.
It would be like if someone like went to rob you and you like pretended to go down an elevator while squatting behind a trash can and then just like sat there until they went away.
Don, I've heard my fair share of interpretation on octopus behavior, but that's pretty
They're also good. Only 12 inches long, so they're just like little dudes. So Malamar is actually bigger.
Yeah, Malamar is huge. Malamar is 100 pounds. Like, he's basically the size of a Humboldt squid, which is also terrifying.
We see it's got cool abilities. Contrary is a very cool ability. You know, swaps your stats. You can click superpower. It's got suction cups, which is accurate. It's a squid. And then it has infiltrator, which lets it bypass substitute and screen moves. And that also sort of goes into the sort of sneaky color shifting sort of thing that Malamar has going on. And it does still have a signature move, which is cool. I don't think anything else has topsy-turvy still.
What does it do?
It swaps stats.
Yeah, I could see that being pretty niche.
It's very so it basically all it flips the stat changes that are affecting the target. So like, yeah, if something's swords danced or whatever, you can flip them around, which is kind of fun. I've seen some sort of gimmicky stuff where like you topsy turvy your own guy after a Draco meteor, but you could also just skill swap Contrary onto it instead, and then just have the same thing but better.
Yeah, that seems like a smart play.
Yeah, so there's some skills. I've seen it, and I've messed with skill swap Malamar. I think it top cut a couple regionals. It's pretty good into Incineroar because you get an attack boost. But yeah, 4'11", 103 pounds. It's a big squid.
I mean, it's a pretty good start. I mean, this region is weird because unlike Alola and Galar and Paldea, the Kalos region didn't have, like, a ton of, like, super-duper French Pokemon. I mean, we'll get to one in the end here, but, like, I think it's a good Pokemon to start with because he really is... He is one of the underappreciated ones right next to Barbaracle. Nobody loves Barbaracle.
Well, yeah. Also, like, I feel like Smeargle's a French Pokemon, even though he's not.
Yeah, no,
He's got a little beret. He's artistic.
What would you make Malamar if you were doing a... I don't know what the new region is, but new region Malamar, if they do like the Hisui ones.
Oh, like, okay. So, we're assuming it's kind of, is it looking like it's in the future or the past, do we think?
Past.
Doesn't look kind of futuristic, right? Oh, it is past?
I think we're looking past.
Okay. So it's kind of a weird one because a lot of prehistoric, we don't have a lot of great squid fossils from over the years. We have a lot of really, really old cephalopod fossils, like the ammonites and stuff from way back in the day. But like relative, like slightly more recent, like squids don't really fossilize well because they're all just But I do think it might be cool. Maybe Malamar gets a shell. Maybe it goes like a little more. I mean, you don't want to overlap with Lord Helix or anything like that. I mean, maybe you could go like a Dark Rock or a Psychic Rock might be kind of interesting. Those are kind of not too common typings.
Because that's only what, like Lunatone, Soul Rock, and Iron Boulder?
Yeah. Someone knows their someone does good at Pokidoku, I can tell. yeah, and then Rock Dark, we have just, Tyranitar, the king himself. But both of those would be kind of cool typings, maybe. Maybe something like that, give it a shell. Yeah. I don't really say I want to make it just a water type, even though that would be pretty good because water types are just good. But maybe make it a little more prehistoric, or if there's any particular squid species, there's the Whiplash squid, which is off the coast of France.
Oh, yikes. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, so maybe he gets really, really long, and instead of
long
like...
Long boy.
I'm not sure how you flip him. Instead of flipping him, you like...
Bend your switch.
Throw your switch really far away. That is unsettling. Chris, do you have something less...
And it has super, super long feeding tentacles.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at that. I don't want to be, but I'm looking at that. Well, not that big. It's just long. It's fine.
I'm going to have to balance out this creepy talk with something sweet. We aren't talking anything French without talking about desserts. So I figure we could talk a little bit about Slurpuff. I think an underappreciated fairy. Slurpuff is pretty fun.
There was a Bellydrum Slurpuff set that made rounds in like Gen 6. I
remember that.
Because it's Unburdened Bellydrum, which is actually kind of insane.
Yeah. So Slurpuff, there's a I'm going to do a quick hit on a couple. So I think there's definitely a little bit of meringue in it. Have either of you had meringues before?
I would like lemon meringue.
I can make a meringue.
So like the actual like meringue itself is, I think it was like maybe like the 18th century in France. But basically it is whipped egg whites and sugar and some kind of acid that you put into it. That's why I like lemon meringue, all that kind of stuff. But basically, you whip the egg whites so fast that you break down the proteins, and it creates that kind of fluffy, foamy, that texture bit with the meringues. I don't really like see it kind of with Slurpuff, because Slurpuff always to me looked more like a complete thing. Like, I mean, you could even argue cupcake, but I was gonna.
I always thought like cotton candy type of dude almost.
I was gonna say puff pastry.
I could see puff pastry.
So puff pastries are actually pretty cool if you when you think about how they kind of came about historically. There's been a lot of like talk about, you know, so what makes a puff pastry different from, you know, other maybe traditional baked goods is that what happened is that when the gentleman who's credited with the technique, I believe is pronounced Claude Gelée, who's an apprentice baker who was rolling out dough for, as the story goes, his sick father. And the only thing his father could have was water, butter, and flour. So when he rolled out the dough, he actually put the butter in the dough to roll it out. And I think I saw something that there was concern that like the butter would just melt out of the dough because they didn't know what would happen with it. But instead it made it like super, super flaky and like made that a croissant is basically a puff pastry. It's that same kind of technique with the butter and rolling it out with the dough. And so you get that really, really soft, crispy, flaky dough texture that puff pastries are famous for. And you can do all kinds of things with them, like fill them with meat, fill them with sweets, fill them with whatever you want. The world is your oyster. Just probably don't put oysters in your puff pastry.
They probably have done so.
I think I've seen them do it on Chopped. But oh yeah, so you do trade, you do evolve Slurpuff by trading just call them Swirlix, holding the whipped dream, which does add another layer of lore evidence to the meringue puff pastry.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely meringue. I like puff pastries. I don't think puff pastries get get enough love from Pokemon, so I'm going with that. But like, we without Puff Pastries, we wouldn't have the Cronut. And what world would that be?
If you've never made a meringue without a machine, it's awful. So those people deserve credit. In order to actually make the meringue and like to beat it through, you have to be constantly whipping air into the mixture in order to get the puffy whiteness. And so that is literally 15 to 20 minutes straight of just whisking. Don't stop.
No, it's definitely, and it was 18th or 17th century. I can't remember, but it was around that time. But yeah, no, it's a good way to build up your forearm strength.
I've used it in order to make different desserts here or there, and I hate it every time.
If you want to like have fun or make good food while working out, you could get some really ripped forearms making meringues. If I was gonna update it with a new version, I would probably take a different kind of dessert that maybe isn't exclusively French, but I think is more so associated with France, and I would do a creme brulee type and on I would probably update the typing. I already said it earlier, but I would go fire fairy.
That's appropriate.
Make it a little bit crispy. Kind of makes a little bit more sense than my instant monstrosity earlier, but I would do fire fairy Slurpuff creme brulee. Give it a little ramekin dish that it can sit in, like like Sinistee. I think it'd be really cool.
Okay, what ability would you give it?
I feel like, well, Sweet Veil is still gonna have, and if I'm taking away Unburden, it would probably have to be something like, well, it's not fireproof or not heatproof. Maybe like Well-Baked Body.
Oh, Well-Baked Body, or maybe you do like a special version of like different name, obviously, of
what's Colossal's ability called? Steam powered, right?
Steam engine. Steam engine.
Well, steam engine's what, speed? Yeah, so give it special. That would actually be broken. Well, no, you still take damage. That's right. You don't get, like, to be immune.
Yeah.
And
as we learned, without G-maxing, your health goes pretty quickly. Any chance I can get to talk about food, I'm going to do it. So thank you for letting me rant about that.
All right. I think I'm going to have to bring us back on track. The more truly French stuff, or at least that's what I thought. We are talking about Froufro. I feel like the second
told you he wasn't French.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that when I'm doing this. I tried to keep it a secret. It'll be like, hey, we don't pick the saying, kind of have fun, learn it out. Yeah, no, poodles are super associated with France, and yet they are not. Do you know what? Technically, there is a dog that is considered, and I quote, the royal dog of France, but King Louis the 14th. Would you like to guess what breed of dog it is?
Ooh, let me think. Is it like a common breed or no?
It is a very famous type of working dog. Very defensive, very strong.
Oh wait, it's defensive?
It's like what you put on a farm to kill coyotes if they come and kill your chickens.
I mean, there's a few of those. I'm going to guess it's a Pyrenees.
It is. It's the Great Pyrenees.
Yeah, I love the great dogs. Definitely a dog you need to have a lot of space for. Definitely not like a city dog, but a very great dog.
Yeah, so Froufro is not based on a Pyrenees yet, but it is. They originated from Germany, first off. The name actually comes from an old Low German word meaning to splash, which makes sense. They were a waterfowl hunting dog that the German hunters would use. They did not really get into like the French mindset until the circuses started breeding them for tricks, and they kept breeding smaller and smaller poodles for more like elaborate fun little stunts and what have you. And that's where they gained camaraderie and friendship amongst the French populace. They were bred not just for their fur, but they were also bred for their intelligence and obedience. At least one organization has named them the second most obedient dog breed that you can find. The Dex entry does show us a little bit. It shows us that if they do give a shout out to the brain power of the poodle, this Pokemon will only trust you to groom it if it likes you. By the way, you'd have to groom them a lot. It talked about how people will go about and decorate them and cut them in all these different hairstyles, which we've seen in the game that you can have your Froufro in multiple different hairstyles. And honestly, I thought that was super cool. I thought that was a really cool gimmick back in the day. If we're going to go on the trend of changing them, yeah, I would take...
Wait, can I share a poodle fact I know?
Go right ahead.
So, you know, the origin of the poodle haircut, like the classic pom-pom ankle cut.
Isn't it to keep them, like, warm while swimming?
Yeah, like, so originally, it's, like, a much rougher, it's kind of like the forelegs and the chest as well, just had the fur. And it was to help, like, keep their vitals warm and also, like, give them a little extra, I guess, like, paddle surface area. But the rest of it was kept shorter to help with, like, brambles and stuff like that out of water.
It's wild to me how people keep assuming that these animals are like, oh, they're frou-frou, they're so cute, they're meant to have, like, nah, that is a hunter that you put a bow on. That thing is really good at hunting and killing stuff.
That's why when people treat poodles just as accessory dogs, and then they just always end up just out, the dog just ends up being crazy, because that dog wants stuff to do, and they're very intelligent, yeah, and they're definitely not a... They're not, like, they'll be lazy, but they don't want to have nothing to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's not a basset hound. It's not just going to sit there with you on the couch.
Would you make it normal fighting?
Okay, first off, I would make it a Great Pyrenees. I would, like, modify it because dogs are all, breeds are weird anyway. But, yeah, I would turn it into a Great Pyrenees. I would keep the normal typing. Keep the normal typing. And instead, I would give it an ability along the lines of huge power.
Okay, you're... Oh my god, okay. I thought you were going to say guard dog, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense, but...
Yeah, you could go guard dog, which is fine. Works out fine. But I want huge power, because if you've seen what a Great Pyrenees can do, these animals were built and bred so that way if anything, and I mean anything, walked onto your farm, it was limping away at minimum. There have been Pyrenees who've been known to take out entire packs of coyotes. So yeah, I would put huge power on the dog. Would that make it a little busted? But maybe. Does it get access to quick attack? Yes.
Maybe. Well, you're saying, so I'm assuming it has the same stats. So it has 100, Furfro has 102 base speed, which is fast enough.
Yes.
Furfro has base 80 attack. Azumarill, one of the quintessential huge power fellers, has 50 attack.
I would make a monster. I would challenge God with this creature.
It does get Sucker Punch. I don't know if it gets Quick Attack.
Yeah, I don't think it does. Mine would get Quick Attack. I would give it Quick Attack just because I want the impact. World to burn. Gets Snarl, so you can go defensive if you want to scare people off a little bit.
On guards, yeah, you get crazy. It's got some options. And there's also, I think it's been in the game since Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, right?
Yeah, it's one of those Pokemon that just kind of gets left behind, and I feel kind of bad for it. So I want to bring this dog in, and I want to make it truly French. Because if we're going to be rebuilding France, we're going to be rebuilding Paris, we might as well have the biggest, toughest French dog, and one literally fit for a king. Now comes the part, though. Let's get to the real stuff. The French are fine, and we're going to learn more about it. But you all know why people lost their minds on that trailer. Whether you love them or hate them, the Mega Stones are coming back, which means we get some new Mega Pokemon. I am hyped and I am excited. Who do y'all think deserves to get the stone? Who gets the rock?
Mega is not the most traditionally, like, good effect, right? Like, a lot of the times when they're Mega evolving, they aren't good feelings, correct?
Oh, you mean from a lore standpoint? Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like
anger
from
pain
stats, and I was like, no, it's very good. The numbers go up.
No, like lore standpoint.
Number go up.
So I'm flipping it because the Pokemon that I'm gonna do with has already dealt with enough pain. So Lucas, do you want to regale our listeners with how sad the story of Trevenant and Phantump is?
Oh God. Okay. I had the discussion once with a biologist, and we both agreed it's one of the scariest Pokemon. So Phantump's whole lore is that every time a kid dies in the woods, he has a chance of coming back as a little Phantump, and everyone gets really sad. And we were laughing because if you wanted to, like, if Phantoms and Trevenants were, like, part of the ecosystem, that means that in order to increase the flow of these Pokemon in the ecosystem, you're having to send more and more kids to die in the woods.
Yes.
Which is just horrifying. Why on earth would you give that thing filled with spite, anger, and death more power?
Yeah, if you're EV training off them, you're just out there just bashing child ghosts.
We don't swear on this podcast, but Yeah, slap them kids. We're going to go. That's the closest I'll get to it. Just smack them kids.
So I was going to flip it in that Trevenant has already dealt with enough pain. So when it megas, it's going to be happy? I don't know. Basically, I'm tying into the overall legendary lore, and I want Trevenant to go full Yggdrasil and become just like a giant ash tree. And like tree, because Trevenant, the form itself is like a guardian of the woods. And so I want it to go like full blown, full circle, big tree, tree of life, tie in the Norse mythology with Xerneas and Yveltal and Zygarde. And just make it all full circle, get an actual Yggdrasil into the game, make it Mega Trevenant. Make it Grass Fairy if you feel like you have to do something. I'm all about the fairy types, apparently.
When you said, like, it had suffered enough, I imagine when it Mega Evolved, it just turned back into a kid. Just turned back, like, I get Greg. Get him, Greg.
It's just a kid.
Are you my father?
But no, I want big, big, like ash tree type thing. I think that'd be cool.
Sorry, you said something beautiful, but I'm just imagining this poor French orphan from like 100 years ago being just like, mon Dieu, I'm human again. And like you try taking the rock from him. It's like, no, please let me have it. I don't want to go back to being a tree. Just such a messed up lore.
Yeah, no, Trevenant's messed up. I tried to give Trevenant a happy ending.
Yeah, no, just bring it back to life. It doesn't want to be a tree anymore. Don, what on earth did you bring? Please don't let it be sad.
No, so this is just like, really, it's just a little guy. And it's a Pokemon I like a lot, and I feel like he doesn't get a lot of love. He's also the only shiny I ever found in Gen 5, and we only have one Gen 5 Mega. And also you said who gets the rock, and like this guy's got the rock. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh god, oh. No. I have a bad feeling.
No, it's Crustle.
Oh, he does get the rock. He does deserve the rock. Yes, give him the rocks. Such a good boy.
Yeah. So I think Dwebble's adorable, and I love Crustle too. And I said he was probably the only shiny I found in Gen 5, just out like roaming about. And I've tried to use him several times. So Crustle, you know, he's a land hermit crab, where it's kind of Dwebble, and Crustle's got like a giant rock lump on his back. He has like some things going for him right now. Like he has an okay attack stat. He has good defense, speed, base 45. So like not the greatest speed at all. And he does get the move Shell Smash, which can be a very good move in singles. But I think because I think Mega Evolution, they normally add roughly 100 base stats. Mm-hmm. And with Crustle, I think, if anything, you go the opposite route and you drop even more speed. Like, potentially, I would say, like, even base 30 or lower. And then you just really beef up, maybe bump a little in attack, and then just beef up the bulk. And on Mega Evolution, I think it'd be cool if maybe he got... I was trying to think of an ability that would make him good. Like, great. Overdoing it, you know? Yeah, one thing I kind of came up with was I think like I thought Sandstream might be cool because you would give you like a really slow stand setter that lets you reapply it, but that's kind of what Mega T-Tar already does, and you would kind of just eat Mega T-Tar.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, you said don't go overboard, and my first thought was like, give it an ability that Shell Smashes automatically.
Yeah, so actually, I thought about Shields Down as a cool ability, because that's kind of what Minior's gimmick is, but then like it gets weird on Mega, and like I feel like because it's a signature move, you know, it wouldn't be so I went back and forth with a lot of moves, and but then I kind of decided that maybe it would be cool if he got really fast, like when he megas, he's like now so fired up he no longer needs his giant shell, kind of like a what, Rock Lee, the little pun right there.
Oh, that would be great.
It's like if in his Pokédex entry, and like crabs are very strong for their size, it even mentions how their claws are their greatest weapons, and they're strong enough to crack a Rhyperior's carapace, and how so I think maybe once it megas, it sheds the shell, and then it just gets like a huge speed boost. And maybe gets I thought about maybe Sand Rush.
So then it just all the defense, kind of, like it needs a defense and speed switch places.
Yeah, with some extra stuff. So yeah, I thought maybe that was an option. I don't know. I feel like there's other abilities you could really do to make Krustle. And like my other thought for it would be if it got like instead you double down and you got really slow, like base 20 speed, and your like little just sediment thing became like a sick castle. Maybe like a French style castle given the location of this game.
Oh, like, that'd
like
be
or
cool
like a big like Notre Dame Cathedral kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be beautiful. That'd be so cool. And hopefully renders properly. But that'd be awesome.
That's we gotta wait for the next system, Lucas.
Yeah, the next system. So hopefully soon. So for mine, At first I was thinking I should give Drudagon some love, but then I remembered nobody likes Drudagon.
I forgot he existed until you said this.
Yeah. Then I was thinking Golurk, because I did get a tattoo of him and I love him to death. But like there's one Pokemon that deserves it. There's one Pokemon that historically did not get a Mega because the designers decided it was too tricky for them. They've mentioned it before. Flygon deserves to be happy.
They really didn't give him that. That's why he didn't get a Mega.
That was one of the rumors that was flying around with that he did not. Some of the designers thought they just couldn't come up with a decent design in time. I'm sure if you give them enough time, they would.
I don't buy that.
Like, you don't buy that? Didn't care?
But continue.
Yeah. Whatever reason it was, they decided Flygon did not need it. They would just give Garchomp one and let Flygon flutter around in the desert. I am sick and tired of people not giving this thing what it needs. So let's give people what they want. Bug Dragon. Done. Easy, simple, to the point. You raise that 100 speed up to at least 130. Like you lower the defenses if you have to. You make this thing just bum rush dead.
I think Megas get around 100 base stat points.
Cool. So buff up like 40 in one end, 50 in the others. Drop some of the few. Like that's just what I just need this thing to be a glass cannon of pain. Garchomp can be built a little bit bulky. Flygon should not. As for the ability, Levitate is not necessary for this Pokemon. It's just not. So I had a couple thoughts. You could either make a bug version of Normalize. So like just the idea of like making other moves like the same typing. Or you can go ahead and you could do something that... what's that punk rock ability that boosts sound type moves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would also work really well for this Pokemon. If you wanted to go a little bit crazy with it, you could go speed boost because it is based on dragonflies and those things are really quick. And may swing flies are close enough to dragonflies as far as I'm concerned. There's so many things you could do with this Pokemon.
If I may I make a suggestion?
Of course.
Tinted lens.
I did think of tinted lens.
Because it powers up, not very effective. I realized two of the abilities we've said, we've basically just described what ideally Mega... Dun Mega would be also. Speed and Tinted Lens is what he has. But I do like the punk rock ability. I think that would be a cool take because he does have a lot of sound based moves. And they mention its sound based moves as well. So actually, yeah, I really like punk rock. I think that's a cool ability.
I mean, they might rename it because it doesn't fit the lore, but like making it like have its flapping wings sound like a woman singing. Like, there's so many different things about how it uses sound. The fact that they didn't give it like any kind of move to work with, I would also give it like given its physical attack, like what you could do instead is when you Mega Evolve it, it becomes much more of a special attacker because that really is where most of these sound moves are coming from. There are no sound attacks that are really physical. So there's a lot you could pull off with this Pokemon. And I think that Flygon deserves that because it is a really, it's one of our favorite designs. The number of times I've talked about Trapinch and Vibrava and Flygon in conventions is probably the most I've talked about any other Pokemon because they are so unique and cool in the animal kingdom that Flygon should get some of that. And it should have been Bug Dragon to begin with. And Megas were that chance to kind of correct those mistakes. I'm hoping at least one of ours makes a cut. Even if not by our design, I hope at least one of our Pokemon. Don, I'll be honest, especially yours from Gen 5 because Gen 5 literally having Audino as your Mega.
Yeah.
That was just kind of like,
I've been,
what
the,
un-
I don't need about. I was going to make a joke, but then I mispronounced the name, so ignore my joke.
Yeah, no. I mean, if they want to take a Gen 5 Pokemon and give Drudagon something and somehow make him uglier, just to laugh at, I'll be fine. But like
Mega Durant.
Oh, that would be so sick. Oh, I do hate Durant, but I love redesigning him. Oh, such a cool Pokemon. I mean, that's why I love Pokemon Day. We usually get something to just talk about for over an hour, and I love the fact that we're probably going to have to edit this down because we're talking way too long about it. Point of the matter is, this new game's coming out. I'm glad it's coming out in 2025 to hopefully get this game a little bit, you know, better running than the last two. Just a touch, maybe. I mean,
don't get your hopes up.
That's a hard maybe.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. I mean, if the rumors are, there's one rumor, again, rumor, going around that it got delayed because it was supposed to launch with the Switch 2 and the Switch 2 moved to the spring. And if that happened, then like, sick. I'll play it on the Switch 2 then. But hopefully this game comes out well. Hopefully it's well-received. I love this franchise, and I'll keep talking about it. So thank you guys for bringing your French spirit, your French Pokemon suggestions. And I'm really looking forward to talking about this game with y'all. Until then, who knows what we'll talk about next episode. But for now, have a great rest of your day. We'll see you guys next time. Bye, everybody.